As a child of God, what one word comes to mind whenever you see a rainbow? A promise. Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. Please notice where it's set. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud. Please note that as well. When I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it. Take note of that as well. The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Several things there come to mind about the rainbow. The rainbow that was, the rainbow that is, and the rainbow that will be. Three points of interest, at least it was to me, I want to share with you tonight some thoughts about that. When we think about the rainbow that was in the body of the text that we just read, there was a, understandably, in the aftermath of judgment, this was to be a visible, objective token of God's gracious covenant blessings to his people from that day going forward. That every time that would be seen, it would be a reminder, not only to them, but it's interesting to me that, you can twist this or take this any way you like, but whenever you see that rainbow, God is looking at that rainbow. What you see, he sees. What you note as a reminder of a promise that he made is likewise also, not that he forgets anything, but that it is a reminder of the promise that he made and so as to keep it. To me, I would say more than mildly interesting to note that the rainbow is a mutual point of contact between the creator and the creature. When it appears, we look at it, he looks at it, and we're there looking at the same thing together. Now that ought to be with, aside from the rainbow, most every other thing going forward, we ought to be looking at things that he looks at with the same perspective that he brings to it. When he sees that, it's a promise. He made it. He keeps it. We look at it. We know that he made it. We know that he'll keep it. But pick out your issues. Pick out your circumstances. And it talks here about the cloud. We have a lot of hymns in our hymn book about cloudy days. And generally they're talking about sometimes sorrow or sickness, and sometimes there's sin involved, you know. But think about the fact that the rainbow itself must be set in the cloud, and that designed by the Creator. So when you think about the rainbow that was, in the aftermath of judgment, that was a promise that he made, that he would never again destroy the earth by water. Never again. I know that you see pictures from time to time in America and different places in the world where did all the water come from? And look at the devastation that it brings when it does come. But never again will there be the caverns underneath the earth explode and the canopy and the rain, the moisture that comes from above all crash to earth simultaneously, bringing the global destruction. God made a promise he would never do that again. However, there is destruction coming, not by water, but by fire. Now, think about that rainbow, setting that forward as in the text that we read it. But think secondly about the rainbow that is. In the 14th verse, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. When I bring a cloud, think about cloud as being an indicator for our devotional purposes for some kind of a difficulty, some kind of distress that a person may be having. And please notice that in the 14th verse, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud, when I bring it over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Hinted at in the 16th verse, we see this. The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So when you think about the cloud that is, I will look upon it that I may remember. Let's make an application of that truth for a minute. You are involved in, you have some kind of testing. Okay? Not temptation, but testing. It may be in the form of a sickness. Some other difficulty. It may be a financial uncertainty. Whatever you pick. You know your miseries better than anybody else and are able to assign a value plus or minus to all of that. But remember the application of this verse. Coming into the New Testament, Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church in that 10th chapter, first epistle, he said that that God is faith, who will not suffer you. He will not permit. He will not extend beyond your means you to be tempted above that you are able. So every time a cloud besets us, if we see the light shine through, the light of God's word, the light of God's presence, shine through, there is the pledge of his promise. He will never suffer you or I to be tempted beyond the capacity that we have individually, nobody's the same, to actually succumb to the testing. We also understand that the Apostle Peter makes a statement in the second letter, 2 Peter 2, verse 9, that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So no matter how dark the clouds are that roll in over top of you from time to time, everybody has them, keep in mind that somebody is able to see through those clouds, and keep in mind where the clouds came from. Nothing, absolutely nothing is random in the universe that God created. Nothing just happens. There's always a cause behind the apparent effect. And the one who is in absolute sovereign control of everything pertaining to your life and mine is never, ever surprised by something that appears before your eyes. Ever. And so when the Lord says, this is one of the great dispensational promises of Scripture that has a reeling effect. The text in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that fundamental dispensationalists always resort to, establish the fact that when the rapture occurs and the Holy Spirit removes his people, we then understand that the judgment that is predicted by God and will happen at God's hand will come upon the whole world to try the earth like never before. And that verse says, I will also keep thee, the Christian, from the hour of temptation. Now that's a promise that he made. You might say that that's a rainbow in the word. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So when the tribulation begins, The promise of God is this, the rainbow in the cloud, and you can't get much darker clouds foreboding than that, especially if you're on the wrong side of God. The promise of God is that He's going to keep you and I from it. Now, that being the case, the next verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 says three words that are so meaningful. After He says, I will keep thee, He says, behold, I come. I come. Always anticipate the rainbow in the cloud of affliction at any point in time in your life. So when we think about the cloud that is, or the rainbow that is, think also of something that the psalmist said for your comfort and encouragement. Psalm 34, somewhere around verse 7, verse 11 in there. We understand verse 17, actually, that the righteous cry. When do they cry? Well, when the clouds drape over you. And listen, I don't know how much stock you put into shrinkology. I think there's something to the truth that most people prefer sunshine than clouds. Wouldn't you? Were you one of those? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more clouds get me down. When I don't mind the soft rains and the clouds that come with the rain. That's always a neat thing, but just a dark, dismal, cloudy day just drives the spirit in a hole. And you talk about a shortage of vitamin D when you live in a place where it's always cloudy. But oh, how the sunshine swaps that all out. Now the righteous cry when the clouds come. That's understandable. That's normal. And the psalmist said, the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their trouble. He's promised to do that. There's a rainbow in that promise. He's promised to deliver. Many are the afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. Many. They're just not scattered and sparse. They're many. But the Lord, who looks upon it, as we find in Genesis 9, verse 16, when He said that He will there look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between thee. The righteous Lord looks upon it and delivers them who are the righteous out of them all. That's a promise. So you have your clouds. They come in. They push you down. They test you. They tempt you. They get you twisting. Just keep in mind what the promise is. Just keep in mind what God said. Now consider about the rainbow that will be. The rainbow that will be. I want you to keep in mind everything that we read in Genesis 9 and go back to the last book of the Bible, to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Here's another great promise. Revelation chapter 4. First several verses. Church is already gone. The true church extracted from the earth. The scene is in heaven. Verse 1. After this I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. One sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon it was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. A rainbow, the rainbow that will be. Surrounded by the saints, there you will be, around the throne. The focal point will be the Lord of glory. The promise of redemption realized at last. The same kind of intimation is made in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28, where the prophet there talked about the rainbow in the cloudy day of rain. The glory of the Lord appears. So whenever you look at Revelation chapter 4, the first three verses, you have there, and I may be wrong about this. If I am, you can get with me in heaven and chide me over it. But the way I mentally capture this is that there, if you might look at it, is a large sunken amphitheater. And there at the base of that is the throne. In all of its glory, sitting upon that throne is the divine creator, our redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And round about the throne, in ever ascending, who knows how many seats above that, all casting their crowns, all looking down and focusing upon the Savior. And what is there but a rainbow? The rainbow that was made by as a covenant of a promise in Genesis. Now we see the rainbow at the end of the spectrum where the saints of God all gather around Him. A promise is there. That's not a hypothesis. That is an actual promise. Now, I will conclude by saying that that with regard to this very practical application, the clouds of life, it is said, will always produce the rainbow of His promise if we allow the light of God to fall upon them. The clouds of life will allow, if we allow the light of God to fall upon them, will produce a promise. His comfort in sorrow is assured, for He has said, "When I bring a cloud, the bow shall be in it." It is He who brings the cloud. It is He who places the bow. For what reason? For a reminder for us, for Him, and the fact that there is a mutual point of interest, a contact point, the creature and the Creator all gazing upon that which He has made. Not something that man has done. Not something man has done, but what He has done. So, take this into consideration, the rainbow that was, the rainbow that will be. And in between, ever is the promise of God that when the cloudy days come, when the afflictions come, that there is a promise in the cloud of deliverance. You pick your issue, you pick your circumstance, it's all good. Would you pray with me, please?